Hello, and welcome to the Fun and Sobriety Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan. I am an alcoholic. So today I was thinking a lot about the notion that I'm not my worst experience. You know, I'm not the worst things that I've ever done. And this touches directly on the concepts of like pride and humility and that element of inverse pride of being like, you know, I'm such a piece of shit. And when it comes to recovery aspects, I'm such a terrible alcoholic. I'm the worst alcoholic. I you know, the things that I've done are so unacceptable that I am clearly like a huge piece of shit. And, you know, in early recovery, recognizing that, or even, you know, I recognizing and being told and being having the humility to listen to the concept of, you know, I don't need to hold on to connecting myself exclusively with the worst things that I've done, and recognizing quickly that remaining attached to myself through the view of being the worst things I've ever done, you know, is serving, not serving me, is only serving to increase or maintain or reinforce my demise, to keep me in a hole, in a pit, in the mire, in the mud, you know. The idea that I'm not a piece of shit because I, whatever, because I drove drunk a million times and was arrested in my car, fully intoxicated with my children in the car, right? Like, these are not defining elements of me as a person. These are things that I have done. And less specifically, and less tangibly, but more esoteric, just the idea that I am not a piece of shit. I am not worthless. I am not a fool because I am unable to stop drinking. That because when I drink, I get out of control. I do things that I regret. All of these things. Learning the concept that is, in a way, just my pride getting in the way, right? That inverse pride of acknowledging and embracing and attaching myself to these core ideas that define me and thus define myself to be these terrible things. And from a general sense, what I realized I was doing was that the behavior of just simply attaching myself to these concepts as a form of beating myself up, you know, I was getting in my own way. And to get out of my own way, I needed to step back and view myself from a different perspective, you know, to take myself in context, right? To transcend the notion of this self that I had enveloped and developed and completely grabbed onto, and to instead view it as, no, I'm simply a person who has had these experiences, who has had these thoughts, has had these behaviors, who has made these decisions, whether they were conscious decisions or, you know, driven by the fact that I was drowning myself and flooding my brain with alcohol. Regardless, these are simply things that occurred in my conscious experience. Even if, you know, in a blackout, it's not technically conscious, but I'm not going to get hung up on these distinctions, because at the core, the notion of viewing myself in context rather than connecting my context or connecting these thoughts and these experiences to myself. And And with that came the freedom of recognizing, oh, I'm not a piece of shit. I have ugly, negative emotions towards this idea of who I am. And I have these ugly, negative emotions and thoughts about who I am because of these things that I've done. And, you know, I'm not a failure. I am not a failure. I am someone who has failed lots of times. There's a distinction there. And the distinction is key to not only recovery, but to simply changing the way that I approach my life, right? I mean, that's what recovery is changing the way I approach my life. You know, I mean, always at the core of recovery is removing the chemical substance that I'm addicted to, whatever. But the recovery concept is changing my approach to life. And in this concept of viewing myself as in context, you know, viewing myself as context, I'm no longer associating, I'm no longer attaching my own sense of who I am to these thoughts and feelings that have been driving me crazy and have been, you know, fueling my desire to escape and no longer have them and, you know, drowning them out. And it makes it possible for me to just observe. It enabled me to observe myself from the outside in a, I'm sure it sounds esoteric, but it's not far from the grasp of anyone who takes the time to think about it, right? And, you know, in the context of recovery, it was, I'm able to, you know, when I stop associating myself with my thoughts and my emotions, but rather associating, seeing them in context of like, these are just things that are coming through my conscious awareness, my conscious experience, and I can just observe them rather than grab onto them. And that becomes key, you know, at some point when I've removed my craving, or when the craving has been reduced significantly to the degree where I'm not constantly thinking about it and needing to actively embrace the notion of like, when I'm not actively trying to resist the urge and no longer having, you know, cravings that are killing me, right? Like there's early recovery where it's just like all hands on deck. I need to just kind of find my way through the next two breaths so that I'm going to be okay, right? Like that's one thing, but it's still tied into this because at the core of that is an awareness that this is just something that's occurring in my body. This is something that's occurring and it's, you know, I've channeled my thought process so that I just fixate on it. And it's not just simply a thirst. It's like a body hunger. And eventually being able to observe those cravings and those senses of triggers and those emotional upheaval and happy and sad moments or whatever that bring about cravings for, you know, escape. Being in a context of being able to observe these, you know, quasi from the outside. Again, getting out of my own way and simply seeing these as, oh, I just experienced this weird craving once again. I had this thirst come over me. And seeing myself as context, as just viewing myself from an observing position rather than from an attachment to these cravings, I'm able to recognize, oh, this is something that came up. I wonder what's going on. What's going on in this Dylan self mind right now? What's going on in the experience? Where am I feeling this in my body? Like a full embracing of being able to be an observer of what's happening inside of me. All of this infuses into the concept of recovery and pride, you know, reduction in pride and humility. Which is to say, reduction in pride and you know, increasing in humility is the humbling awareness that these things that have felt like they defined me, that there was no, you know, question about. I'd never contemplated detaching myself from these cravings and feelings and emotions and impulses, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's naturally humbling to recognize, no, these are just experiences I'm having and from an observing position, you know, air quotes, outside of myself, whatever that self meant, I can view them and see them and understand, oh, I'm just a human having these experiences. Interesting. And of course, at the core of that, if you follow that train of thought and truly embrace it, it becomes this awareness that the self itself doesn't really even make any sense. You know, when I'm trying to observe who's this observer, then it just becomes this iterative, like, well, where does this end? You know, it's just turtles all the way down, you know? You know, a reference that I'll just let sit. But the notion that, you know, the self is an illusion, that's fine. It becomes another train of thought to grab onto and get confused by and, you know, anxious about. Induces anxiety. And again, that is just simply another experience of attaching to this concept, attaching myself to the concept of self. Right? All of that becomes esoteric and unnecessarily confusing and hyperbolic, blah, blah, blah. Recognizing that I am not connected to my thoughts and emotions. I'm not attached to them. They are things that are occurring to me, and I can observe them from the outside. Gives me space, I suppose, is a way to look at it. Of identifying, well, okay, what is my actual core values here, right? I mean, so many of us are living our lives, especially when we're in active addiction, active alcoholism, aware that we're not in connection with our core values. We may have no concept of what that means other than an awareness that it feels icky, whatever's going on doesn't feel right. You know, we'll often have that very depressed look of seeing our children out there and not connecting with them, seeing our loved ones there and not connecting with them, and chasing that away with, you know, in my case, just drowning that away. And being able to remove that connection to these feelings and thoughts and ideas that, you know, I'm a piece of shit because I can't do this, because I can't connect, I'm unable to love this person, I'm just a piece of shit. I keep saying that. I guess it's giving away my internal monologue a bit. Being able to step back and go, no. I'm not a piece of shit. I've done things that I'm not proud of. I've done things about which I have shame. You know, I am someone who's experienced shame in reaction to, in connection to things that I've done. You know, I'm not the things I've done. And again, this iterative thing, shame itself is also just an emotional connection fundamentally driving this sense of I have shame. I am someone who has, you know, full of shame, is yet another just thing that's occurring in my experience that I can observe from the outside, acknowledge, and proceed forward, right? I mean, shame, like any really any emotion, is only useful insofar as it helps commit me to an action to change, right? To approach a change. And that's the concept, or that's where I was going with the idea of being removed from attachment to these negative self-talk, to these negative self-images, getting out of my own way enables me to have the space to recognize maybe not what my core values are directly, but being able to observe all of my responses to the shit that I've done, you know, the negative self-talk, the leveling of pride, the bruised ego, whatever, helps me identify, oh, something in there, I'm not in alignment with my core values, you know. And not that that's something that needs to be defined, nor does it need to be something that's permanent, other than the notion of paying attention, observing where I'm not in alignment with that, and taking the action to try and adjust my internal behavior, adjust my internal response, whatever, so that that feeling doesn't become something to struggle with, right? That feeling of attaching to these negative ideas, attaching to whatever, you know, that can serve as a guide towards helping me identify, okay, what am I fundamentally wanting to be, you know? And for myself, I want to be at peace, right? I want to spread joy and love and connectivity with the people in my life and hopefully through that to others, right? And that's just a broad strokes. You know, in some degree, my core value is to be sober, to not, which is to say to not allow fear, to not attach myself to the fear that underpins so much of my life and so many of the decisions I made, but rather not attach to that fear, which is to say, for me, remain sober so that I can show up for the rest of my life, show up for the people in my life, show up for myself in my life, and have as wonderful an experience, as robust and complete and interesting an experience as I can, right? And I don't know, that was just off the top of my head. I don't know if that serves as a generalized enough sense of my core values, other than the core one being not to be driven by my fears. And if I am being driven by my fears, to be able to step back and observe what's happening in a calm, contemplative place, and hopefully have the strength and ability to simply move forward anyway. I don't know. Maybe this was too esoteric. Maybe not. In terms of recovery from alcoholism, it feels very fundamental, because again, at the core of all this, the awareness that I'm not living in conjunction with my core values, that I'm allowing fear to dictate everything, that I'm grabbing on to these notions of all the worst things I've done and beating myself up and just beating myself up and just repeating to myself that I just kind of, you know, it's unconsciously telling myself I deserve all the bullshit in my life. I deserve to be denigrated, and thus, why not just fucking drown myself? That's just pride. That's humility. That's me not transcending the notion of myself. It's me attaching to these ugly thoughts and these ugly emotions and defining myself in conjunction with them. And when I was able to become relaxed in the notion that these are just simply experiences and thoughts and feelings that I'm having, they don't define me. They don't need to define me. I was able to become calm and embrace recovery, which is to say, embrace a new commitment to making a new change and a new path for my life. Anyway, that's all my thoughts for today. If no one's told you they love you, I'll tell you, I love you. And anybody out there who's struggling, please feel free to reach out to me. You can email me, Dylan@almostthercounseling.com, one word, almostthercounseling.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, I suppose. But I hope you have a terrific rest of your day.